Welcome back. The Huddle, WCCO Radio, live at the Minnesota State Fair. How's everybody doing this morning? Everybody good? You're probably better than anyone who had ever played for Mike Zimmer. If you don't know if you had a chance to see the article that was in the Star Tribune, I think it was today or yesterday. Mark Craig, great writer for the Minnesota Star Tribune. It is now the Minnesota Star Tribune.
Yeah.
It's no longer the Minneapolis Star Tribune. The headline says, Mike Zimmer back in the NFL has a lot to say about his Vikings exit. Quote, unfortunately, I hold grudges. So he goes, so if you read the article, in short, Mike Zimmer did nothing wrong. Everybody else around him was to blame, including Rick Spielman. And all of his players are soft. He no longer loves Terrence Newman, even though Newman was like a son to him. But Newman said it was a hostile work environment. I read the whole thing. And you look back at this, and I put a lot of blame on Mike Zimmer for what happened, right? Is he a good coach? Yeah. Is he old school? Yes. As a coach, there comes a point where you have to change the way you do things to form with your team, right? It's not 20 years ago. It's not the coaches that you played for, Pete, where you had to form to your coach's mentality.
Right.
You know that, right? Coaches can't operate that way anymore.
Right. Yep.
And even though Mike Zimmer probably said some things that are true, and we can get into a lot of them, and I certainly would never wish on anybody that, you know, when he lost his son, and I'm sure that changed his outlook on things.
Yeah.
But to go to do an interview, which from Mark Craig's standpoint is outstanding. This was a great interview with him. But for him to do that and come back and dog basically everybody in the Vikings organization, it's just not a good look, man.
It's a terrible look.
It's not a good look.
You can't hold on to that stuff. You've got to get rid of it. It happens in everybody's lives, whether it's in sports or not, it doesn't really matter. There's always something that you look at and you're frustrated by it. You might be angry about it, but you've just got to move on. You've got to just step over it. And I think with Zim, I think the biggest problem was there are people out there, and we know of this. We see it all the time. Offensive coordinators become a head coach. It's just not something they're suited to do.
Yes.
And I think with him being a defensive coordinator and that side of the ball and everything else and then getting his opportunity, it just didn't click. He was not everybody is born to be a really good head coach. A lot of them are much better at just having a different, you know, group of what they're really doing within the team. And I think that's part of the problem as well. I think he felt like he was a great head coach. He was not.
Yeah.
He didn't have the go ahead.
Yeah,
I was just going to say he was pretty harsh on the players, Charlie, oftentimes after the game. And I don't think you do that. I think you can be honest, but you can do it in a different way than coming off as a real...
You can't throw your players under the bus.
Right.
You just can't.
You can't.
A couple of things really struck me about that. A grown man saying, sorry, I hold grudges. That's just who I am. You're deciding to hold grudges. You don't have to do that. Nobody's forcing you to hold a grudge. It's just childish to not be able to get over past grievances. And I understand to some extent it's hard to do, and maybe you're not going to get over everything. But just to carte blanche say, yep, I hold grudges, too bad, really striking to me. The entire article, he refused to take any accountability for anything. The Terrence Newman thing particularly struck me. You mentioned it. He said he was like a son to me. He said something on a podcast where, hey,
this is toxic.
It was a bad environment.
It was a toxic worse environment.
Just at the end. He said, hey, towards the end, yeah, it got a little toxic, which in the article, Mike Zimmer says, essentially.
Yeah.
And he says, well, you're dead to me.
Yeah.
I'm not talking to you.
Well, he got mad at Paul Allen. Yeah. I mean, a radio guy. They shared a horse together. And he dogs him.
Just came off as petty and childish.
Yes, petty.
Yeah, that's perfect description.
One of
petty
the things
and childish.
That, yeah. And part of coaching, too, and I think this is, it's not just X's and O's. You manage your personality.
Yep.
You manage the people who are with you. And we've talked about Cheryl Reed many, many times, who is arguably one of the best player managers in sports, how she manages big personalities or great players. What was really interesting to me is a story that was shared about the draft in 2021 when Zimmer and Spielman barely spoke to each other that year. And Zimmer says in the article, quote, I walk in before the draft and Rick is watching quarterback interviews for the combine. quote, he hadn't told me anything. Normally, we always kept me abreast of everything. He and I were always good. Basically, Spielman wanted to trade up for Justin Fields.
Yeah.
And Zimmer didn't want that. So, by the way, little mini tangent here. Smart for Zimmer. Once again, could you imagine if they trade up for Justin Fields? Oh, my gosh.
Here's the thing. The situation gets him right. I mean, you never know what's going to happen.
No.
Well, I will say this about Zim. What bothers me about this whole thing that we're talking about right now and some of the things he has said, that never used to happen. What normally should happen within an environment that's healthy is you've got a guy who's up there who's a big personality like Zimmer who's mm-hmm. willing to tell you what he thinks. That happens inside of the Vikings
right.
state, you know, within their practice facility. You don't put that out there to Dave Schwartz. You just don't.
No.
You don't say to Pete Najarian, oh, Pete, I know you're going to be talking this weekend. I'm really disappointed in this guy. Really? You're telling me that? I mean, it just doesn't happen. It shouldn't happen. And it's amazing to me that it does happen. And that's where Zim really needs to step up and be a bigger man. Really,
but
quite
consistent
frankly.
With who he was when he was here too.
Yeah,
I mean, the article does talk about Kellen Mond when he was
yep.
like, yeah, we needed to see more Kellen Mond. Which, by the way, we find out that when Spielman selected Kellen Mond, Zimmer walked out of the draft and never came back.
And how about this? In addition to that, they have three more picks that round.
Yeah,
how are
yeah.
you not a grown?
He just
up,
walked out.
How are you not a grown up?
And
enough?
It goes back to the old adage, right? Coaches coach, players play, general managers manage. Like,
yeah.
do your job and deal with it. But that was consistent with who Zimmer was when he was here.
Yeah.
Remember the season that Case Keenum had? He would never come out and say, yep, Case Keenum's our starter. It was just always holding that carrot
yeah.
a little more. Case Keenum ends up having
a good year, right?
A good year, and
yep.
the play heard around the world forever, the
right.
Minneapolis Miracle.
Yep.
And then he goes elsewhere because he doesn't want to deal with this garbage anymore. So it's consistent with what Zimmer was, but to me, this is a terrible, terrible look.
Yeah.
And if
terrible.
If
You're
I'm
right.
his boss with the Cowboys, Jerry Jones or Mike McCarthy, I'm like, Zim, come on, man. What
yeah.
do you like, why?
Yeah.
What is you feel like you have something to prove? I get it, and he talks about that. Clearly he wants to show that he is more than just the fired coach that was here. And I will not say that everything was Zimmer's fault. Rick Spielman shares that blame, brother.
Sure.
Let
sure.
me tell you, maybe even more so.
Well, let me tell you this. I don't want to be overly critical, though,
yeah.
Dave, so hold me back because I don't
yeah.
want to regret what I'm going to say. But the drafting of the present administration is not impressive.
Nope.
They didn't get Justin Jefferson. That was previous to them.
Yep.
So when you look at Scene, he's gone. Booth is gone. That's your first and second round picks.
You're right.
In 2022. They're not part of the team. You can't miss on first rounders. You just can't. When, especially the higher up you go, I mean, it gets even worse. I think this year, I liked what we did, so hopefully it can work out.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm still working on hope because we've not done very well in the drafting over the last now 3 years. And that's something I think as a fan, we should be concerned about.
Yeah.
That is your core. That's when you go for a first rounder, that guy's going to play.
Yep.
And you hope that he plays anywhere between 5 and 8 years or more, right? I mean, that's your first-round pick. You got him on a rookie
right.
contract. You go through that whole thing. And we have failed on multiple picks so far. And then you go deeper into it. Those guys, of course, are not the guys that you expect. But even those guys aren't making the team.
Well,
so that part, I think, is something that if you want to be a little critical, I think that's fair because we've got to start hitting. J.J. getting injured, that's a different story.
Mm-hmm.
That you can't blame him. That,
mm-hmm.
I thought J.J. was looking great, and you and I and Charlie all disagree on this, but I thought he should have been the game starter
had he been
healthy. But you know, time will tell.
Well, Pete,
I think that I just think at the quarterback position, you go high with a quarterback, he should be ready. That's what you're telling the world. He's ready to play.
Yep. Just
two quick follow-ups, Pete. One, yeah, the top of the draft has not been good for this administration thus far. Hopefully this year is going to be good. Dallas Turner has looked great. J.J., unfortunately injured, but looked great. The undrafted free agents, though, have been an absolute hit during the entire time here. Two more making the 53-man roster this year in McGlothern, and I'm blanking on the other one, but there was another one.
Yes.
That also made it.
Yes.
Yeah.
And somebody knows who it is, I'm sure. But two more undrafted free agents making it, as well as a couple last year. Ivan Pace, arguably the best defensive player on the team last year,
mm-hmm.
was an undrafted free agent rookie. But my follow-up back to Zimmer, Pete.
Yeah.
What does this do for his current team and his current players. He's the defensive coordinator for the Dallas Cowboys this year, if I'm not mistaken. Are those guys looking over their shoulders saying, hey,
Eric Kendricks went there to play with him again?
Right.
Which to me is like, what?
Dalvin Cook?
So then why did you say that in the first place? If you know, and he said, he's like, oh, emotions were high. Well, then be an adult.
Yeah.
Are they going to be looking over their shoulders here? Coaches said these things about these other players. Am I next?
Well, here's the good news. He's not the head coach.
And he's never going to be a head coach.
He's not going to be a head coach again. Yeah, he's not a head coach. And rarely do you hear much from the coordinators, quite frankly. I mean, whether it's the Vikings or the Dallas Cowboys or anybody else, it's the head coach. That's what everybody wants to hear about. And so I think from that perspective, I wouldn't be overly worried. I bet you Jerry Jones has sat down with him and given him a...
I was going to ask you that. Yeah.
I mean, Jerry Jones is a wonderful man, and he's where he is because he understands how to do things the right way oftentimes, and he has done it time and time again. Let's not forget, he bought the Dallas Cowboys for what? $140 million?
He
and now worth $11
billion.
I think he's done some good things. His decisions have been good, and I think he'll hold back on Zimmer getting out there in the public very much.
Yeah, because he wants to do all the interviews.
Yeah, well,
that's
Jerry... You know, the one thing you can always say about Jerry Jones, though, he actually played the game.
He did.
None of these other owners did. He played the game at Arkansas with Jimmy Johnson and all the rest of these guys.
Woo pig suey.
Yep.
All right, we'll take a break, come back. We'll talk a little more Vikings draft because you kind of alluded to this.
Yeah.
I'll tell you why I'm not super concerned about what Kwesi Adofo-Mensah has done and why I like his current approach. We'll talk about that next. You're listening to Huddle Live from the Minnesota State Fair.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Welcome back to the Huddle. Live from the Minnesota State Fair, right next to Sweet Martha's Cookie Jar.
Ooh.
It's the best place to be. I think people are coming now. The rumor is out that we're giving away free cookies. I've had to give out.
We're
a lot
gonna
of
need
cookies.
Another bucket of them.
I don't have any more wet naps, so I can't eat anymore. Pete, we were talking about Vikings draft a little bit last segment.
Yep.
And there's a lot. Excuse me. A lot coming out this week about Kwesi Adofo-Mensah's draft. The fact that it hasn't been ideal. Hasn't been super great. My whole thing, and I've said this. I was talking to a friend of mine the other night. I think I had really low expectations for Kwesi Adofo-Mensah.
Mm-hmm.
Not because I don't think he can do the job, because I think he's a smart football mind. But because of the fact that you came from a general manager, like Rick Spielman or not, and I'm not his biggest fan as a football person, but there's an experience there to drafting guys, figuring out what they look like, how they play, and how that's going to translate. Kwesi Adofo-Mensah was an analytics guy. He is an analytics guy. To me, more than any other sport, football is darn near impossible to predict how a kid who plays college is going to be in the pros, right? How many, and quarterback's always a position, but how many guys who have been drafted high in the top five and then go on and they're a bust in the NFL? How many guys are drafted in the fifth and sixth round and then go in the NFL and they're great? So to me, the first couple of years of Kwesi Adofo-Mensah, I really felt like they expected a longer learning curve for him. That not year one, two, and three, but year four and five, when he has some experience, maybe he'll start getting some of those great players. Last year, he got Jordan Addison. Aside from his off the field stuff, he was pretty good last year, 911 yards. Mekhi Blackmon has been a pretty good player.
Has he?
He's been okay.
I'm not trying to be critical. I'm just asking. Okay. Has
up and down for a third-round pick?
Yeah, he's hurt, but I think he's been okay.
For a third-round pick, right?
Okay.
Now, there's other ones. Ivan Pace was an undrafted free agent. Great player. Jaren Hall, not a great pick. He was a round-five quarterback. Who cares? I'm just happy at least. At least Kwesi Adofo-Mensah is like, you know what? I got some more work to do here. Not everything's been perfect that I want it to. Mm-hmm. I'm glad he has that strategy as opposed to Rick Spielman, who said, well, you know, I beat everything, all the bushes down. I knew everything. The guys we wanted didn't come to us, or the guys we did, and blah, blah, blah. And Rick, everything works the way Spielman wanted it to work perfectly.
Dave, I mean,
not
one,
true.
One thing I'll say.
Yes.
There's no organization in sports that is given 4 to 5 years for a GM or a coach or anybody to figure it out. You are going to expect things by year two. That's just the way the modern sports works.
Yes.
There is not that slow roll anymore that
they're. Then why did they hire a guy who has no experience as a GM?
Because they expected him to perform within the first couple of years. He's a smart guy. I think everybody can agree. He's an incredibly intelligent guy.
But
he has that humility now we're seeing as well, which you mentioned, and I think is a good trait for a GM to have. I'm still figuring it out.
And Lewis Seen was a complete bust, right? We all
Complete bust.
Yeah. You couldn't predict that the injuries hurt him. Would he have been better without them? I don't know. It doesn't even sound like he – did he sign with anyone else yet? I don't think
– He had offers for a couple practice squads.
Yeah.
They're going to knock on your door if you're a first-round pick if you get cut.
To go to a practice squad.
Just for anything.
Well, and here's the other thing with Kwesi and that pick, though. A lot of people got fooled by that Georgia defense. You look at that Georgia defense now, those guys that got drafted, there was 6, 7, or 8 guys that have been drafted off of that team's defense. Half of them have not made it, and they were drafted highly. You have N'Kobe Dean. You have the defensive tackle down in Jacksonville. You've got a number of these guys that have been drafted very highly off of that Georgia defense that fooled a lot of smart
guys
in
the NFL. My point, why analytics don't work for football.
And that's what I want to – my pushback would be that – because you kind of softened the blow, and I'm going to get a little bit of a harder shot at this. These guys with analytics have no clue. It might work in baseball. It does not work in football. I can point out guys to you that run 4.440s. I don't care. He still can't catch the ball. Does anybody remember guys like Willie Gault going back in time a little bit? Chicago Bears. He could run like a deer. This guy was literally world class. Mm-hmm. That ball might as well have been sprayed with oil for him to catch.
Troy Williamson.
I mean, and time and time again, I see this. And what bothers me is these guys all go to the combine. They all get hooked into a guy who played an okay year of college football because suddenly they see that he ran a 4.440.
Matt Jones. Oh my goodness.
And they go crazy for
him. Matt Jones at Arkansas.
And here's the biggest problem with a lot of these guys, and I think that these GMs that don't do as good a job, they're too worried about the analytics. We called them, back when I was playing, we called them airport players. They look great walking through an airport. When you're 6'6", 290 pounds, and you're strutting your way through the airport with the rest of the team, you go, whoa. Meanwhile, the guy can't play. You know, I can't tell you how many times that I've seen guys get drafted very high or drafted at all, and their athleticism is phenomenal. But are they good football players? I would much rather have a guy forget about analytics, put on the tape, and show me he can play football at Penn State against Michigan and be relevant. And if they're not relevant, that guy's probably not going to do well in the NFL. It happens all the time, and I get so frustrated with Kwesi or any of these guys. I think the guys who have done the best job at this have been at certain places. Philadelphia comes to mind, where they've done a great job of going into the NFL to the draft and getting NFL players, not guys who played at USC with nothing but All-Americans around them, or Georgia or Alabama, wherever it might be, because it's too difficult to figure out, is the guy good or is it the team?
Yeah.
You know, what are the mechanics of this whole thing?
Well, I mean, Pete, so I was talking with Dave about this off air. The undrafted free agents that they picked up, the Ivan Paces and the Dwight McClellers, those were guys that performed in college, right? That didn't necessarily have those measurables, didn't have those analytics.
Right.
You know who is, I would argue, the premier analytics pick, Pete, who maybe didn't have the greatest career in college, but people saw, oh, maybe there's something there. Maybe he's got that arm. Maybe he's got that. Patrick Mahomes did not have a great college career.
No.
He would not have been drafted that highly in the first round had it not been analytics looking at it and saying, oh, maybe this guy has something. That's worked out pretty well, in my opinion.
Well, you're going to get me started on the combine.
But that's one. That's just one.
That's a pretty big one.
Yeah, it is a pretty big one.
You hit on that, you don't have to hit
on anything else. No, what you're saying is very fair, totally, but that's one. And it's a hit. That's great. But if your batting average is under 100...
For every Patrick Mahomes, there's a Matt Jones. There's a Jamarcus. Remember Jamarcus Russell?
Jamarcus Russell.
Who could the famous quote, my favorite quote ever, is from Colin Cowherd. And he said, they say Jamarcus Russell could throw the ball 70 yards downfield from his knees. Well, that's great. Last time I checked in the NFL, when you're on your knees, you're done. It's down. Who cares how far you throw the ball? The combine, to me, is fool's gold. Preseason football is fool's gold.
Yep.
The combine, it's great that a guy can bench press 225 pounds 40 times.
Right.
If he can't figure out an assignment from a linebacker,
right,
if he can't block a guy, then who cares how strong he is?
I'm telling you, you watch the tape. That's what makes you decide this guy can play football, and he might not have all the measurables, but likely he's got a lot of them.
Why even have the combine?
I think you want to look at these guys up close. I think you want to go through all of the speed, the strength. That's important, but it's not number one. And these guys treat it like number one. And unfortunately, Kwesi, because of the fact that he is analytical, he came from baseball. My biggest pushback, and this is not to be overly critical, but you look at the C-suite of the Minnesota Vikings. They're all baseball guys.
Yeah.
They're all baseball guys. What does that mean? Analytics. What does that mean? It's like, hey, guys, there are some great football players out there that don't have those measurables, but they're pretty damn good, and they're better than the guy who can run the 4.44 or whatever.
And you got to take them in the undrafted free agency routes.
You got to be bold enough to take them there. That's right.
Right.
All right, we'll step aside. We're up against it. Take a break. Come back. Deion Sanders is in the news again.
Oh, boy.
Not for his football coaching this time, once again. We'll talk about that. Well, thank goodness the local coaches that we cover and that we deal with don't ban us from talking to them, thanks to our comments. Colorado, the University of Colorado, banned Denver Post columnist Sean Keeler from asking questions to Deion Sanders or any members of the football program. Quote, after a series of sustained personal attacks on the football program, and specifically Coach Prime, the CU Athletic Department, in conjunction with the football program, decided not to take questions from Denver Post columnist Sean Keeler at football-related events. Okay, this is the stupidest thing of all the stupid things that I've heard. The job of the media... No? You think he shouldn't be allowed? But it's the football coach's job to handle all those questions. All of it. He can decide. Now,
I like that you're pushing back.
That's okay.
I might not agree or not, but I like that you're pushing back. That's good.
But the free press, even in sports, should be allowed to do. Let's not forget, Colorado is a public institution, if I'm correct, which means that tax dollars and things help pay for Coach Prime, and he should be held accountable for things. Now, should it get personal? Maybe not. Maybe it should stay football. But I don't think you should ban him from asking questions at a press conference and taking Coach Prime to task. The question, apparently, Keeler's references to Sanders as, quote, deposition Deion, the Bruce Lee of BS, and a false prophet for his use of phrases such as Planet Prime, the Deion Kool-Aid, and circus. Okay? Is this a personal attack on Deion? Maybe. But he brings it on himself.
Is it inaccurate?
He brings it on himself, and then he gets asked about it. Now he wants to ban a guy. Is it accurate? You're probably right, Joe.
Is it inaccurate?
You can't ban a reporter because you don't like his questions. If everybody banned me every time they didn't like my questions when I was a TV reporter, I wouldn't have been able to talk to anybody. I asked a lot of bad questions.
You know, I love Deion. I always have. But I think he's gotten a little bit soft as far as, I think sometimes you just have to deflect, right? I mean, if you're a coach, you have to navigate a lot of different avenues through the world. And we were talking about Zim just not too long ago, Coach Zimmer, and some of the crazy things that he has said, which we don't agree with. But I think with Coach Prime, it's just it's an interesting thing. I mean, he is at a different level than he was before as a coach, and sometimes you've just got to accelerate your knowledge. You've got to understand that there are going to be some people who are going to fire bad things at you, but you've just got to manipulate your way around that, yes. Right? And yep. and if you completely disagree, you just got to give the answer that you think
and
is the most and move on.
Mike Zimmer, when he was here, and a gentleman named Chris Thomason, if you remember him, from the Pioneer Press. Now, Zimmer hated Chris Thomason. And I give Chris Thomason plenty of credit. Yeah. He asked the questions nobody was willing to ask, and he did it consistently. And Zimmer would just go, all right, you know, like he didn't want to talk to him, but he did it anyway. Guess what, Prime? You can't control the media no matter how hard you try. You're not a player anymore. As a player, you're shielded from those things. You can say, I don't want to do this. I don't want to talk today. You're the head coach of a football program. You have to deal with jerks. Sorry.
Well, and you've got to – what I'm saying, too, is you've got to figure out a way. How do you manipulate your way around that, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I get questions all the time on the business front where they want me to give answers that have something to do with politics. I refuse to go there.
Yes.
But
smart.
They can ask all they want. And so when I get those kinds of questions, I always will deflect to the idea of, as a capitalistic thing, how does this actually affect the markets?
Right.
I'd rather do that than try to give people an idea, and I've done a good job with it because most people who've watched me have no idea if I lean to the right or lean to the left.
I have no idea.
Right.
We've been friends for a couple of years now. I don't have a clue.
And I purposely have done that because that part I don't want to get into my mindset. I want to be able to give people answers on the financial or the sports front where I'm giving them answers that affect the markets, right? And on the sports side of things, that's what I want to do too.
Yeah.
I think that Neon Dion's got to figure out a way to get through that, or he's going to get a lot of more pressure. This is early.
Win
this
more than four games, too, before you start getting that attitude.
Well, last year, remember, the whole world was all over the fact, they're 3-0. This is the best team ever. And I'm
everybody doubted
let's
us.
Let's see, the best team they've played is Nebraska. Well, and Nebraska wasn't that good, as it turns out. And suddenly they're the greatest team ever. Until the next seven games, they won one more game.
Yep.
It's like, well, maybe they're not quite as good as everybody thinks.
Pete, before we had to break here, why don't you go on record? How badly is Minnie Mahomes in Nebraska going to whoop Colorado this week?
I'll tell you what. I think Minnie Mahomes is going to be a lot different than what they just went up against. So that's for sure. Nebraska played UTEP, for crying out loud. But, but you know, Colorado also played an FCS team, right, in North Dakota State.
Yep.
So, but they're a powerhouse. By the way, North Dakota State nearly got them. I'm going to go out right now and say Nebraska beats them.
You think so?
Yep.
All right. And also, who are you voting for in November? No, I'm just kidding. I thought that's what Charlie was going to ask you. All right, we got to take a quick break.
Grills.
Coming up, coming up next, St. Thomas head football coach Glenn Caruso is going to join us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. We'll talk with him about his team's first week game this week. He's coming up next. You're listening to the Huddle on 830 WCC. Huddle, we are live at the Minnesota State Fair. Beautiful day out here for the fair. We got a couple texts into the stylesfinancial.com talk and text line. Someone says, Pete, you picked the Gophers 8-4 after watching their North Carolina game. I think my 6-6 is more realistic.
Realistic, maybe.
Realistic.
I still stick with the 8-4. The 8-4 was basically predicated. I looked at it as we take North Carolina. We had them. We had them, and
I
we
know.
Didn't take it. But that being said, yeah, so maybe we only get 7, but that's not terrible. But actually, I still stand by 8 because I think you could always get that shocker.
Yeah.
There's somebody that we could shock. Could be Iowa.
Could be.
I mean, Iowa looked okay, but it took them a long time to get
going.
They
got to play better than they did this week.
Yeah, they got to play better.
University of St. Thomas coming off a tough loss at home this week to start the football season. Glenn Caruso, head coach, joining us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Coach, as always, we greatly appreciate having you on the program with us, and you always win, lose, or draw, come on and have great stuff for us. So I know losing is never easy. It's always difficult, especially with the streak that you guys had going. What did you say to your team? How big of a deal is it? I know I read that, you know, you guys don't necessarily focus on those numbers and the win streaks, but what's kind of the feeling inside the program as you come off of that first week loss?
Well, we simply, and by the way, thanks for having me on. Love being on. But, you know, we simply didn't play well. I would say it's one of the worst games, certainly one of the worst openers that we played in. It just wasn't, it wasn't us, and that's our own fault. But the opportunity to respond is our choice, right? So yeah, regarding the streak, I mean, we're aware of it. We don't ignore it. We've had two or three that are in that 20-plus game, whether it's conference win streak, whether it's home game win streak, whatever it might be. But I think the reason why you get to be able to stack win on top of win is because you focus on the process. And, you know, what I told the team afterwards is there have been a lot of times where we might go into the locker room the day after a win and we're still not entirely happy, right? I mean, no one likes to lose, I get it, but we do focus on the process and are we doing the right thing the right way. There are times where you can win and still not do the right thing the right way. So what I love about football, Pete, I love that what you see is who you are, and it gives you a chance to respond. And I say that when we win, and I say it when we lose, and that's how I think we've been consistent over, you know, two decades.
Coach, it was a tough game for the defense, and I'm just curious, did that surprise you, or did you expect Sioux Falls to have the kind of offense that they had? Camden Dean, the quarterback, had a great game, 65 yards rushing, 189 yards passing. He played very, very well. Is there something defensively that you're concerned about, or is it something that they can move on, because Northern Iowa is going to be a very difficult opponent as well?
Yeah, Northern Iowa is, I mean, they're a phenomenal football program, not just now, but historically. They're big, they're athletic, they're strong. Going back to last week, I think it's probably less a function. I mean, at the end of the day, when you go into halftime, and we've been in this situation, I would say, several dozen times. You go into halftime, and with all of the things that you left on the table, in my opinion, on the offensive side, it's still a 3-point, 4-point game, right? At halftime, it's 4-point game, 11-7. So I think part of the function of what happened on defense was probably more a result of the offense not being able to keep the defense off the field. In the first half, we defended 42 plays, and that's just unacceptable. And that's not, put it this way, that is not our MO. That's not how we've done things around here. And eventually, I mean, you know how it is playing defense. Eventually a team's going to be able to lean on you and wear on you if you're out there that many times. When you're on offense, there's not a whole lot of bad things that can happen, right? You punt the ball when things go bad. When you're on defense, it's pretty much only bad things that can happen unless you're great. So the offense needs to do a better job of complementing and keeping the defense off the field and fresh. And certainly you got to give credit to, you know, they're a very talented team. They got some neat playmakers, and that quarterback did a great job on Thursday night.
Glenn Caruso joining us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Coach Michael Rosberg, 9 of 22 for 100 yards, had an interception. What do you take away from that day? And you almost had, seems a little bit like you have a two-quarterback system there, at least using him and Tataka. I hope I said his name right. Is that going to be the way that this goes, or do you see your one kind of leading the way over the other?
Yeah, and Michael did come in for TAC and really nice job with, I would say, limited reps. And by the time that Michael was in the game was different. It had shifted, and he was facing some coverages that we didn't face early on for obvious reasons because it was later in the game. But it's not planned to be a two-quarterback system necessarily. I mean, we'd like to be able to have one guy who can do it and the other guy who can back him up. But for where we are right now, we were not operating the way we needed to at the quarterback position, so we made that switch. And we're going to continue to keep searching for who that guy is that can do it. Now, Tack played for us as a true freshman last year, played in six games, did pretty good. And, you know, Michael is – those were his first reps of college football. Came in from Fargo Shanley, Gatorade Player of the Year, and redshirted last year. So Michael's been really impressive. I had no issue at all. He just – you know, he needs to get banked game day reps. And you could see as the game went on, he got better and more comfortable. Put us on a nice 2-minute drive with maybe a minute 20 left in the game. And those are all things that when you're playing with young guys, you need to get them game day experience. And that was experience for Michael.
Well, I'll tell you, Jacob Wildermuth had a great game. 5 catches, 70 yards, had a touchdown. Why is that a kid? Just impressive. And Michael is going to be looking for him, I think, into the future a lot for you, Coach. That's going to be great. The running game surprised me, the difficulty getting the running game going. That was a little bit surprising. I love your running back, Gabriel Abel, but he just wasn't. Was it the holes? Was he not seeing the holes, or was the offensive line struggling a little bit in this game? Or what do you think you would credit to the lack of an ability to run the football?
Well, I think it's a lot of things, right? When there's that, when you lose a game, there's so many things, least for us, that go wrong. To do it, I think, was not happy with how well the offensive line played generally. At times we played okay, and then there's, you know, maybe two of the guys played what I would consider to be a college football game, and the other three did not. And whether or not the guys are young, it doesn't matter. You're playing, you know, you're playing on a big boy football program. So part of it was that, and part of it was, you know, credit. It was a pretty, when the rain started coming in, it made it a little tougher to throw the football. They were playing their safeties very, very low, and they were getting numbers in the box. And I think Coach Glow and those guys did a really good job. I mean, there were a lot of numbers that were in there. So I also think part of it was on the coaching staff. You know, we need to do a better job of committing to the run game. You've seen us for 15, 18 years, right? You know the recipe. It's run the football. It's flow sequentially with the play actions and the boots in the pass game off of the run game. And it's play good defense, and that's been the MO for a long time. That did not happen. And so it's a lot of things, certainly the old line. The least of which, I would say, is the actual running backs finding the hole. But we got to commit to that, and we got to be able to establish that better if we want to be who we think we are.
Glenn, I got 10 seconds. I want to know what it's like coaching your son, Cade, on the roster this year.
Professional highlight. And could not even imagine it's that awesome. And Cade is not in the two deep. He's freshman. But the fact that he works the way that our program was foundationally built on, I mean, we raise our kids the same way we raise our team, and it's an absolute blessing.
Hey, we appreciate you. Thanks, as always, for giving us the time.
Thanks so much, Coach.
Have a great Sunday, guys. Be good.
You too.
You too. Glenn Caruso, head coach of the University of St. Thomas.
He's great, man.
Football
team.
Honestly, I mean,
I love the dude.
I've never left a conversation with Glenn Caruso not ready to run through a wall.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, just the coach of all coaches. He's always ready.
I'd love to play for him, man.
Thank you all so much for joining us at the fair today.
Thank
we
you
loved
guys.
It. Everybody have a wonderful Sunday, and we'll talk to you next week.